Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. You must be pondering some fantasy sports questions. Well, good news, because you just turned into another episode of Keepers, Sleepers, and Creepers with John and Paul. Episode 15 on the season that's pretty much underway.
Yeah, on the young season.
So, it is still young.
Not even close to the All-Star break, I guess. We've got a few more episodes before that.
And we get to be happy as Reds fans. The season's looking like it should have been.
A little brighter, yeah. I mean, still getting better pitching than I ever thought I was going to dream of. Yep. But the offense is starting to come alive, and it's a lot more fun to watch from a fan's perspective.
Yeah. But that's just a little update on us personally enjoying baseball.
Yeah.
Fantasy-wise, I think we're both enjoying baseball as well. My teams are raking, and it sounds like your team, you're feeling them a little bit better.
A little bit better, yeah. I would say my offense in both leagues is pretty dang good. Pitching has been pretty inconsistent. At times, it's looked pretty good. My auto draft team, it has been a dumpster fire, is the best way I could put it. But overall, I'm starting to make some better moves, sacrificing some of these higher draft picks that I can't wait for them to try to perk up. I'm just going to have to cut them, and here I am getting better results. So we'll see how it works. Climbing back up the rankings a bit.
Gotcha. Well, you've tuned in to another episode of Keeper, Sleeper, and Creeper, where we talk about players that are either keepers, sleepers, or creepers. Keepers being people that are very good and maybe had an injury or something. People are dropping them, frowning on them a little bit, and we're telling you to hold pat. Sleepers, people under-owned, people on hot streaks that are legit, and we're telling you to buy into it if you have the roster space. And creepers, people that have been good and are falling off the map, or people with hot streaks that aren't legit that a lot of people are buying into and shouldn't be. So that is the gist of the podcast, with a couple extra segments we throw in here and there to finish off. And we always start, when it comes to baseball at least, with the keepers. And go in order, based on the title. So, John, what you got in keeper land?
Keeper land was a little bit harder for me to find. I didn't have anyone like glaring at me. I mean, I'm still kind of on the same boat with a few of the people, like Jose Ramirez. Been off to a bit of a slow start this season, and by bit I mean way slower than anyone was ever going to dream of.
But I'm so happy about it, because in the rotisserie, which is a free league that I play in and enjoy, he was easy for me to buy.
It's true.
Well, it wasn't hard. I had to give up a little bit more, and it's so uncomfortable doing because of how slow he's been, and when you give up more, you know, you're giving up some good talent, but at the same time, it's just the right thing to do. I did a 3-1 trade just to tell everybody out there how I did it in my big league, which is really competitive. I had to send out Eugenio Suarez, Wilson Contreras, and Kettle Marte for Jose Ramirez, and I don't regret it at all. So,
I think by the end of the year, there's no way he stays anywhere close to this level of production. And it's nice that even whenever he's been struggling like this, he's still stealing bases for you.
And that is nice.
So it's not dead. And so he's one of the guys I had an eye on. But, I mean, we've kind of hit on him a lot. Yeah. So the guy that I'm going to mention after a little bit of time here is going to be Aaron Hicks. Owning 73% of leagues right now, I'm going to have him as a keeper. He's off to a really slow start at 39 at-bats so far on the season. 179 batting average, one home run, and six RBIs. But I'm not ready to hit the panic button on him yet. The Yankee lineup is only going to get better around him. He had a .366 on base percentage last year and 27 home runs with a .248 batting average. I think all of his consistent numbers right now are definitely going to improve up to similar numbers to last year. The only thing that he might not get is 27 home runs, but he's in the right park to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Yankee Stadium's just facilitated home runs with almost everybody that hits there. I definitely think you're going to see improvements because of his barrel percentage and exit velocity are better than his career right now for his averages, and the problem is definitely in his launch angle, which is 2.9. His career is 11.1, so he's 9 degrees ish off on his standard launch angle. So if he's still hitting the ball this way, it just seems like he's working himself back into the correct swing and the feel of the swing. But I don't think it's not that he's seeing the ball poorly at all, and he always has had great power. So I think Aaron Hicks is a guy that I would be looking to buy into if you can, or hold on to if you have him. I think the production will be there.
Okay. I'm cool with that. I'm going to tell you a guy that's owned a little bit less at 65% that I would actually give up Aaron Hicks for. And he's a keeper because he's owned enough, and he should be owned in every league because he's a monster, and he's going to be a monster for years to come, and we could see him hitting near 30 to 40 home runs this year, and that's Franmil Reyes for the San Diego Padres. Aaron Hicks is legit. He's going to be solid. I agree with you there. I think he is a keeper, but when it comes to a steal, Reyes is killing the ball. And if you look at his stats, he should be hitting around 280 on the season. He's got 23 runs, 15 homers, 27 RBIs, and he's batting 253, and he should be hitting more towards 280, which is so good.
Yeah.
But look at his advanced stats, and I don't want to harp on the advanced stats too much. We've done that before, and it can get kind of boring. But barrel percentage, 17.4, exit velocity, 92.2 miles per hour, and hard hit contact rate of 44.6%. Whew. He is a legit power hitter. So he does not need, if he's unowned in your league, you need to change that right now.
He's an interesting guy. What scared me off on him for so long has been that park. But with the lineup improvements that they've had,
when you hit the ball that hard, it doesn't matter.
And that's also the good point, is it's no fluke at all. He's not hitting first row home runs, so
no.
Can't disagree with you too much there.
And if you look at park factors this year, it's actually kind of interesting that Petco Park is not very good for offense in general, but their home run factor is actually pretty a little bit above average. And I guess it's...
Huh.
Yeah. And it's kind of been that way if you look at the stats ever since when they switched their outfield wall in. So I think they still got some bad gaps and stuff like that, but for a home run factor, it's not even that bad.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting.
That is very interesting. Maybe I'm slow to adjust on that.
It's still a pitcher's park, but it's not necessarily home run anemic anymore.
Which is important to know from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, yeah. A lot of people's stats indicate that. One of the guys I was going to talk about a little bit later, I'll just name drop, but I'll come back to him later, is Hunter Renfroe, also having a surprisingly high number of home runs. I mean, Will Myers can have those high number of home runs too, so maybe the numbers don't lie from all these players.
Yeah. What else you got in keeper territory?
One guy that I've kind of also mentioned a little bit, so this one's a little bit less of a surprise, is Yasiel Puig, owned in 84% of leagues. He's off to a very rough start this year, but I think we're seeing a little bit of life for the first time.
Yeah, and when he goes, he goes.
That's the main thing. He's been a streaky hitter all of his career, and he's never going to be a guy that's probably hitting 300 with 40 home runs and 30 stolen bases, but he has the talent to do that. It's just his consistency is never going to be there to be that big. But with this cold a streak, you know the hot streak is going to be pretty juicy coming out on the other end. And I'm getting a gut feeling along with his recent couple of games that he's a guy that I'm looking to maybe trade for before it's too late and definitely hold on to. I wouldn't be parting with him really quickly right here. He has 3 home runs in his last 5 games, and he's definitely worth riding out, especially considering he still had 10 home runs and 7 RBI in the season with 31 RBI.
Yeah.
And this Reds lineup is looking like it's popping back to life too.
No, he's going to be an absolute monster. And usually, it's not he's not streaky, it's that he starts so cold. And it's when is he going to warm up? And it's not like he's going to hit really good for like a month. Usually when he gets hot and he's on a streak, it's a streak that's like a half a season long. So
and that's always good.
Yeah, I think he's a definite keeper. And he may pop up unowned in some of your leagues out there, depending on competition level. So
I know he did on mine earlier on in the season, but it's been a little rough riding through this. But even like I said, he's given you some of the counting stats. So even if he's hurting your batting average.
7 stolen bases. You overlook that for, you know.
It's not nothing.
Yeah.
In a year where you look at the top stolen base people, and there's really only like a handful this year that are dominating in the category, it's useful to get in those stolen bases. There's only a few teams that really live and die by it like they did in the old days.
Yeah. So that's a cool way to kind of keep up on my trades, by the way. When we're talking about stolen bases, I thought about Tim Anderson. So now I went from trading Tim Anderson for Cuttle Marte, and then Cuttle Marte was packaged in my deal for Jose Ramirez.
It's pretty good.
So now I have Jose Ramirez, Mike Trout, Chris Bryant, Rhys Hoskins, John Villar, Nelson Cruz, and another keeper who I picked up in that league was Justin Upton. The reports just kept coming back positive, 100% weight-bearing now to that toe. He's cleared for batting practice, and him verbally saying he's a veteran, he knows himself, that in 3 weeks he's going to be playing baseball. Activated from the DL, playing baseball for the major league team. So he is a keeper. I'm not too, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm excited to see him back. I'm excited to have him on my team. But I picked him up knowing that he is going to be packaged in a deal for another top star that's kind of slumping, and I'm pumped for that. So 3 weeks away for Justin Upton. He's a keeper. If he's been dropped in any leagues, now's the time to go add him because these reports are too positive. And A, if you need an outfielder, there you go. B, if you want somebody to package in a nice trade deal, that's what I'm seeing.
Because early preseason, I don't think you or me were that excited about Upton in general.
No.
But I was never violently against Upton. Like, he's a guy that's hit a lot of home runs.
He was overrated, but...
Yes. But he's not like a guy like Pollock, where I was a lot more worried about him being able to put up the full season sort of stats, or like you were talking about Daniel Murphy having negative interest in him. I think I don't think either one of us were that against Upton. So I'm with you. I've held on to him too long personally, but I just haven't had anybody else to move on to my DL spot, so I've just hung on. Probably could have got more off of him if I would have just dumped him and packaged some people with a trade. Yeah. But I do agree with you. I think when he comes back, there's a very strong likelihood he's over a 25 home run mark for the rest of the season. His batting average won't be a total liability. Yeah. I think he's useful.
And it's funny you mentioned Daniel Murphy and stuff like that. Like, that's all preseason where they're being drafted at, but now Daniel Murphy's a little guy in pretty much every league I'm looking to get because of how low he is.
Yeah.
Because now he's such a good buy low candidate because now it's starting to warm up down in Colorado, everywhere, and those exit velocity balls are going to start leaving the park. So now's a good time to buy in on Daniel Murphy, actually. But yeah, you should have drafted him in the top 50.
And so I will apologize for that one. I just sold Colorado, and I was like, he's always been a contact guy. I don't know how that's going to go out the window, but he's here still, he is at 219.
His exit velocity's dropped if you look at him, but he's still Daniel Murphy-esque. He's a good person to buy low on right now, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's not... I would be blown away if he only hit 214 in Colorado this season by the end of the year. But, man, I thought he was going to be a little bit better than what he has been.
The only thing that's interesting with Colorado is their Brendan Rodgers thing. I don't know what they're doing with their prospects. They do it every time. If you call up a prospect, you give them everyday playing time. If not, just leave them down there. What are you doing? Yeah.
It'll only stunt their growth.
Yeah, that's stupid. So whatever. Weird. Especially because he's hitting pretty decently. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm done with it. Any other?
I'm done. Mark them up.
They're stupid.
Throw them away. I'll mention one more keeper for me, and it's Justin Smoke. Didn't exactly expect to see him, and his owning percentage isn't super high. It's at 46% right now on Yahoo. But just looking at his advanced stats for the season, and I just got to mention him at least. I think he's a guy that you definitely want to keep, if not pick up if you can. Arguably, he could be a sleeper, but his expected batting average on the season is 284, but his actual batting average is 224. So that screams to me bad luck. He's hitting the ball hard. His launch angle's great at 17.4 degrees, 15% barrel percentage. His expected slugging percentage is 585, which is in the top 4% of the league for the percentile. And on the year, he still hit 11 home runs and 36 RBI. Plus, you love to see if you have an on-base percentage league. He's had 36 walks to 39 strikeouts, so he's almost 1-to-1 ratio in that as well. There should only be an improvement with the people around him, and he's 87th in the league in the percentile for his exit velocity. So I don't know how everything it points to, there's going to be more home runs and RBI due to call-ups of Biggio and Guerrero, who both look to be upgrades over a lot of their other offensive people as the season goes along. I think Justin Smoke's worth owning.
I would say he is. He's not going to end up on Toronto. He's going to be probably a platoon person. So that kind of makes him an interesting ad because, you know, he's not a flashy name and you're not going to be able to package him in a trade. So if you're picking him up and you need first base help right now, there you got it. But you got to figure out a long-term deal because he's probably not, he may be even just brought in for, you know, power from one side of the plate. I believe he may be even a switch hitter, but I'm just saying when he gets dealt, he may not get everyday playing time. And he's definitely not, and Toronto's a pretty friendly park too, so it's kind of interesting. There's some other names out there I'd probably add for long term, you know, control, and I definitely pick up like Upton or somebody that you could trade a little bit better. But he's not a bad player; he should be owned.
If you could pick up a guy like Upton, I'd for sure say Upton would be a better bet, especially if you can get him like one more week. But now is a pretty safe time to grab him because I don't think most people are grabbing him right now. I would recommend grabbing him right now. And maybe Smoke's long-term isn't great for a projectable person.
He can help you for another month or two.
I think for sure, for the next month, I'm going to be I don't know how you don't see at least another 9 home runs in the next month based on the way that he's pounding the ball. So I would think Smoke is definitely worth owning.
Okay. That's cool. Any other keepers?
Those were the big three I saw. How about you? Anything extra?
Yeah, I'll just give, comfort to Chris Bryant owners that, hear about this collision and head neck injury. If you watch the clip, he looks so timid. I mean, head neck injuries can be fluky, but everybody's saying that, this is more precautionary. When you watch it live, it looks like more his glasses got jammed into the side of his head, which, could hurt. But the contact actually was very minimal, considering it was two huge men running full speed. It looked okay from a medical standpoint. So, and that is what I do outside of a podcast, is medical. So,
yep.
I think Chris Bryant's going to be just fine. Don't jump ship and ride him all season long, because he's starting to look more like MVP Chris Bryant.
A lot of those Cubs players are looking good. Like Rizzo's been surprisingly solid this year. Baez looks like Baez, and there we go. That's a pretty solid big three.
Yep. Like we said on the preseason, at least I know I said, I think Cubs take this division. So, and we talked about the Twins. We're here to talk fantasy, and we're doing season-long predictions that are pretty good, too.
Occasionally we get lucky, one or two.
Yeah. All right. Then let's move on to sleepers.
I'm ready.
All right, then. You got a sleeper you're excited to shout out.
I was looking at a couple of the guys that were looked at heavily. Mm-hmm. And there was one guy I wanted to add that was off of that list real quick. Mm-hmm. So Hunter Renfro, an outfielder, owned in 46% of leagues. His last 14 days is looking pretty good, as well as his season. He doesn't have the advanced stats to back up this run, so he might be a guy that I'm looking to ride more so when he's hot. But in the last 14 days, he's batting .286 with 8 runs scored, 4 home runs, 9 RBI, and a stolen base. You got to love those 9 RBI. 8 runs scored is great. 4 home runs is good. And a bonus stolen base you can't beat. On the season, he's hitting .255 with 14 home runs, which is excellent. 29 RBIs and 3 stolen bases. But his expected batting average will show some regression, because it's less than his actual batting average. But the rest of his advanced stats look, I guess, a little better. 69th percentile in exit velocity, 51st in hard hit percentage. So it's not indicating that there's going to be heavy regression within his stats, but it just might be slightly lower with batting average. With the San Diego lineup being improved, I'm interested in Hunter Renfro. I think I would be willing to give him a shot if you have a free bench spot.
Okay. That's cool. I have no input. There you go.
Alrighty. You got a guy you're excited about, or should I go double dipping?
Double dip if you like.
Okay. I think the guy I'm the most excited about is Renato Nunez from Baltimore.
Yeah, he's legit.
My goodness. I was not prepared. You want to talk about hot.
He's a better pickup than Renfro and Smoke.
I would completely agree with that. This guy is owning 27% of leagues, so not everyone's jumping on the bandwagon right now, but 5 home runs and 11 RBI in his last 7 games. That is exceptional. 5 home runs in 7 games means he is just knocking the cover off the ball. Mm-hmm. His .237 batting average is a little low, but his expected batting average has got him at .252, so it's a little higher. Mm-hmm. His launch angle is great at 19.4. Barrel percentage at 14.6 is great, and exit velocity is in the 89th percentile. Hard hit percentage is in the 84th percentile. I don't see anything that indicates this guy isn't going to be hitting the ball hard going forward.
Yeah.
And while this power surge is happening, he looks great.
It's not even a surge, because those are season-long averages that we just talked about. And didn't mention the close to 50% hard hit contact. But the big thing is that this dude, I think, sticks with Baltimore probably all season long. He's batting fourth in that lineup. And Baltimore, as a home park, has some of the best factors for hitters. So you just have to love that situation. First base, third base eligibility. I think all season long he's going to be a great source of power. He needs to be owned. You know, a lot of these guys that are fringe pickup players don't have that launch angle on average that he does. Yeah. And you combo the power with the launch angle, and he's going to be giving you some home runs all season long.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like his batting average will hurt you as bad as it should.
No, he should be around .250. His BABIP as well is 30 points below his career. So a few more balls will start falling his way, and yeah, he'll be more palatable average-wise, too. Yeah. That's a good one right there. He's a good sleeper.
And Mancini, hitting a right around him. I thought he was going to fall off harder than he has. He's kind of stabilized a little bit.
Yeah.
His power numbers are slowing a little bit down, but that's a guy that's going to be on base for him. And, I mean, you got VR still there. We'd love to see that. Dwight Smith Jr. has been off to a great season, but I know he's slowing down a little
he's
bit.
Freaky.
But I think Nunez has some people around him that's not – it's not a desert wasteland lacking in talent for him to drive in either.
No, so it isn't. And it's in Baltimore.
Yep.
It's good.
I like him.
That's good. All right. Who else are we talking about?
You want me to take another triple dipping?
Well, we both talked about him, so we're just cruising.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll talk about the big name, Kevan Biggio, second baseman for Toronto. He's just been brought up recently, and I would definitely have to call him a sleeper. I like him, but I wouldn't really love to trade for him at this point. I just think there's a possibility that he's going to be very valuable if you can snag him.
He's like, in my opinion, he's on my sleeper list too, 28% owned. He's like the poor man's version of Nicky Lopez, which he doesn't have the bigger name as Nicky Lopez did when he was getting called up.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicky Lopez gives you those stolen bases. Kevan really doesn't give you either or. He just does both of them okay.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, a second baseman eligibility is nice. So if you missed on Nicky, I mean, this guy's not terrible by any means. If he gets off to a little hot start here, Biggio is a good name to have behind him. Yeah. I know some people might buy just because his pedigree.
And he was much higher ranked than Nicky Lopez on the prospect pipeline.
Yes. Also, that goes very well. But so far, very small sample size to read into in the major league, so I don't really want to go over his advanced stats too much with only being like a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
But in the minors, he had... he was one of six minor league players to have 20-plus stolen bases and 20-plus home runs in 2018. But I don't think there's a great projection for him to be a great home run hitter or a great stolen base guy.
Yeah.
I think he's just kind of balanced. So you're hoping for 2020, and it's a possibility he'll give you 2020.
Eventually, maybe.
But I think he's just going to be a really good overall hitter.
It does help when he's playing in Toronto, which has got some good home run factors for the park.
That's true.
He's going to be solid. He needs to be owned. I mean, he's he's above average second baseman, I think. And you like to see the eye, 34 walks to 28 strikeouts in the minors.
Yes.
And just like you said, we can't dig into the advanced stats, but it does not look good when you can just look and see what they are so far. And the ball is popping off his bat at 90.8 miles per hour with a launch angle of 12.8. So it's not looking like he's... If he were to keep that up all season long in Toronto... he would definitely get that 20 home run mark for sure.
Yeah,
which would be nice for a middle infielder.
And if I'm looking at Biggio, this is where I'm putting him kind of as a general point, at least. There's a lot of people that still owned Robinson Cano, and I know he just went on the DL. For all of you owners out there, I think Biggio is a better bet going forward for the rest of the season based on a lot of the injuries and things going on to Cano. I think he's just going to be a guy that you're not going to regret having in your lineup. And there's a possibility of him flaring up and people not being able to pitch to him right off the bat. Maybe the scouting reports don't get on right away. And if you can flip him in a package deal for somebody, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But I definitely think he has value, and I would say he's a sleeper.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. Well, in the same facet, we'll just talk about some other call-ups. Oscar Mercado, who we've mentioned before. But now that you start to see, he's had a couple big games before this podcast, so we mentioned him again. 23%. People are looking him up, seeing what he's all about. In the pros so far, 9 runs, 1 home run, 4 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, and he's batting .323, and that is not sustainable extrapolate that out for the whole season. You look at what he was doing in the minors, and that was 24 runs scored, 4 homers, 15 RBIs, 14 stolen base with 3 caught stealing, and batting .294 with not the best plate discipline even in the minors, with 32 strikeouts and 16 walks. And that's probably near, I would say, 150-plus plate appearances. I didn't write that down, nor remember it. But either way, he'll be a little bit above average stolen base option. Mm-hmm. There's other stolen base options out there. Me and you both still believe Malik Smith would be a better pickup than Oscar Mercado.
Season-long, hardcore, I'm putting double-down money as a betting man on Malik Smith for sure.
Yeah. But in a healthy league where if there was 12 of me in it, I would... probably say Oscar Mercado should be owned and at least watched.
Yeah, I think especially right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I like is him right now. So I have him as a very temporary sleeper at this point. Because the Indians lineup, right now he's hitting up in the upper half of the order, which you love to see.
Yeah, batting second.
batting second. 323 batting average right now is great. Like you said, regression, 100% agree, is imminent. Right. But the stolen base he's going to give you is great. But the reason why I'm just not very excited is if he's the 16th best Indians prospect right now, according to MLB.com, and a lot of his minor league numbers project like he's just kind of a decent contact hitter,
yeah,
I don't love it. But again, as of right now, I think he should be owned on the idea that maybe he hits for a nicer streak coming up than what we expect. Adds value, steals bases, and once he gets moved back down in the lineup, once his batting average dips, then that's when you'd be willing to cut him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not too flashy. There's some other sleepers for sure. And just to throw his name out again, I still haven't given him justice and broke down his stats, but Avisiel Garcia is just criminally underowned.
It's maybe the worst one I've ever seen.
I don't know how I mentioned him 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago now, in a podcast, and he's still on. He's like 7% higher than then, and he's batting first today, and raking.
Yeah.
And his speed, like, he's never been a stolen base guy, but we talked about, or at least me and you, I don't know if we mentioned that podcast. He's fast.
Yeah.
He's lightning quick. He's quicker than a lot of professional athletes when it comes to the professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thrown in his stolen bases, three stolen bases in the last three games. So.
Three stolen bases last three games and an inside the park home run. Today. So you want to talk about speed. Yeah. He's got it all going for him right now.
He needs to be owned. So that's crazy to me.
He's giving you a little bit of everything. So I don't know how he's not owned somewhere.
It's crazy.
That's the sort of guy that...
I have him in both leagues.
I'm glad someone does. Because it's a little painful to watch. He's just so useful.
Yeah.
Please pick him up.
His advanced stats support what he's done and more.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's true. Like, his numbers are good right now, but his advanced stats indicate improvement based on what he's doing. And if he improves based on what he's been doing so far, we're looking at maybe a top 60, 70 player?
Easily could be.
Based on what you'd look at as his advanced stats referencing?
Right.
I love him.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
What else you got in sleeper land?
I got one more. I got Ryan Yarborough, the relief pitcher from Tampa Bay. I have him as a sleeper, but I see him similar to as I see Mercado. I see intrigue, but I see a lot of risk. He's in the bottom third percentile for fastball velocity and the bottom 11th percentile for fastball spin, which is not good because that would mean that his stuff is not blowing people away. But the flip side of that coin is his hard hit percentage is only 25%, which is in the top 5% of the league. And his exit velocity is only 81 miles per hour, which is the top 1% of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's not throwing hard, he's being deceptive right now. I mean, Tampa Bay typically does a good job developing pitchers as well. So I'm kind of a little interested, but I'm definitely on more of the wait and see. He was a 16-game winner last year, which is also another positive stat for him. But until I see a little bit of improvement with that fastball, I'm kind of going to be skeptical in buying on him.
Well, if he's good with locating the ball, then who knows?
Yeah. But I can't really
I think the big thing is he's going to be starting, right? He should be starting.
The talk is he should be starting.
He'll be starting soon, so.
Yeah. And, I mean, if he had that much success last year, it makes me interested. But he's just a guy I'm going to be a little slow on the hype train with, I think. I wouldn't fault anybody for picking him up, though. I just see mixed signals, and I don't know what to believe.
I don't have much to add to this. So I was just trying to give my two cents, but I believe in what you're saying.
I'm waiting until, let me see two starts from him. And if they check out, I'm all in. Let's go.
There you go.
I'll ride him for a while.
But do it.
Until then, I'm sitting on the please hold line, waiting to see what he's all about.
Sure thing. I see what you're saying. I'll add my last creeper, sleeper, I should say, and it's staying tuned to what I've been saying about prospects, and it'll be Kevin Cron, because his minor league numbers are undeniably good. With 21 homers and 62 RBIs, batting .339 in 165 plate appearances. And for a power hitter, his eye in the minors looks pretty decent with 33 strikeouts to 27 walks. So I love that. And you combo that with he could be playing every day in Arizona. Of course, we both harped on Christian Walker earlier on. And I still think they should ride it out and he'll come back to life and be a great first baseman for him. But people are people, and it's what you've done for me lately. So I could see them benching Christian Walker. And if Kevin Cron were to get everyday at-bats in Arizona, we know what he can do in the minors. Now, this is probably even a more friendly ballpark where he did that in. He's going to be legit.
Everything you said is true, but I have him as a creeper because I don't know when his playing time is going to come around. Personally, I think Christian Walker is still the answer there, but they called him up. But all I'm looking at right now is I'm seeing him with one game started out of his first five, but he has had a pinch hit appearance in every game as
well. Yeah, that's why he's a sleeper, though. That's why you just keep an eye on him. Yeah. Because if he gets a spot, because Christian Walker, undeniably, I know we both like his advanced stats and what he did, but he's been awful for the last month.
Yeah, his batting average dipped an insane amount when I was looking into that. And so,
and he's striking out like crazy, so...
It does look like there's an opportunity for Kevin Cron, but until I can see him play a little more often, I'm going to be probably slower on the uptake. But his numbers in the minors were absolutely insane.
I mean, I'm not saying Adam. I'm saying watch that situation.
Okay. If you're saying that, I completely agree. But for me, I'm looking at, 339 batting average in the minors with 21 home runs, 800 slugging percentage, and 1.237 OPS is absolutely insane in 185 at-bats.
Yeah.
Like, those are off the charts numbers, good. And so if he can translate even a portion of that to the majors, you're looking at a stud.
And what a great home ballpark to do it in.
Yeah. And he has some of the pedigree. I mean, with his name for Cron, I don't know. There's a lot that I really like, but until he plays, it's just kind of hard for me to want to add him. But you're right. I think as soon as he gets added, I'm in love. For sure must be owned.
Cool. Any other sleepers you wanted to mention?
Nope. I think that was all the sleepers I got.
Then, if we're done with the sleeper talk, it's time to move on to the creeper talk.
Yep.
Yes.
I think sometimes this is the most valuable portion of what we're talking about.
I think so. Although, sleepers last week, let's just take a... We've been throwing stuff and getting all this stuff right. I'm just going to throw it out there, not to brag. But, like, if you listen to us, you get it here first. You've heard about a VCL. And then last week, I say Nico Goodrum, and it's not like he's put the world on fire over the last week, but he's batting first, batting second. They moved him to second, too, after that podcast where I said he should be batting. And he's been nothing but solid, getting you tons of runs. Above that, good runs. He's helping me out in a home run today. And his advanced stats keep going. I love him with that position eligibility. So we give you good stuff all around, but creepers is real nice.
Yes. I think, because in my opinion, both the sleepers and the creepers, I guess, are arguably about as valuable. Because, again, I know we mentioned this here and there, but if you're new to the podcast, I think making sure that you rotate out the borderline people on your roster and add people that are worth owning throughout the season is going to improve your winning percentage significantly. Not only that, it's going to give you great trading tools to be able to trade up for people that are more valuable that aren't playing like that right now. Everyone's in a world of... what have you done for me lately? And I think keeping an eye on the big picture is where you're going to be making a lot of your moolah back from the draft. And I know I am typically not great in the drafts in comparison to running a team, but I think this is where you make your money.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and just concur what you're talking about because I, for one, there's two things I wanted. I wanted Jose Ramirez and I wanted Wilson Contreras off my team. He is not a top three catcher hitting wise. Frame time, framing and pop time, overall, great catcher. But he is a creeper 100% because look at his stat line right now. 26 runs, 12 homers, 32 RBI, 1 stolen base and batting .312. Nuts for a catcher. You break that down though and look into it. And first off, you just have to acknowledge this dude's never hit more than 21 homers in a year. With already 12, I don't think it's going to hit over. He's going to get to 21. He's going to surpass that, but I don't think by much because he just, you know, the history doesn't lie. I don't think he's going to break out. I'll talk about him next. But and you look at what he's done so far, batting average on balls in play, which I read this article on Yahoo or something the other day. Like, does BABIP actually help people in fantasy sports? And their thing was no, because like it. you know, like Mike Trout, it, like if you look at his batting average on balls in play, it's saying it's a little bit lower than career, but you don't need to look at that to tell you that Mike Trout's in a slump and in a funk. And I'm like, you don't look at that stat for people like Mike Trout. Yeah, you know he's in a slump. Yeah. You look at it for people that, you know, don't have the pedigree. And Wilson Contreras, he is a great catcher. And he's fun to watch. But BABIP and his expected batting average, which is an advanced stat that tons of calculations go into, have him batting closer to 250 instead of 312. That's a huge dip. And then the 12 home runs, not that much higher than some of the catchers you can go snag in free agency, which I did, Vasquez off Boston. And if you look at his advanced stats, he's hitting the ball, exit velocity, hard hit percentage, launch angle, all the 9 yards, he's doing better than Wilson Contreras. And he's getting to play in Boston, which is a much friendlier park to hit home runs, hit in, than Wrigley Field is. So I was like, I want to pick up Vasquez. I want him to be my rotation guy with Zunino when he comes off of DL, who's going to be one of the top catchers in fantasy this year once he's back. He's making strides. He's not getting the credit because his strikeout percentage is so much lower than it ever been has been. And he's just, everybody's saying, like, he's feeling the ball, and everybody was bummed when we went to the DL because he's so dang good. But Wilson Contreras is going to regress, and he's still only going to hit close to about 25 home runs, which means 13 more on the season, and he's going to bat closer to 260, maybe around 270 since he's so inflated right now for the season. But either way, it's going to be regression, and it's going to be sad when you've gotten this much support out of him and counted on him so much. So I got to do two things in one trade, and it was A, get rid of Wilson Contreras for an upgrade, and B, snag Jose Ramirez. So I loved it so much. It was hard to get rid of Eugenio Suarez, who was by far the best out of the package I sent for Jose Ramirez. But I mean, once Jose Ramirez gets hot and finds himself again, because if you look at his advanced stats, everything is the same from every year he's had so far. So he's going to get right back to doing what he does. And once that happens, that trade's going to look so bad. So, especially because I got to use this hot streak Cattell Marte, which I do think he's pretty good, was on as a buffer in the trade. So it worked out real well.
Yeah.
But there's my soapbox on the first creeper. What do you got?
I have a couple of these middle tier, like high watch list creepers, but I will throw in a couple. Let's go with a couple obvious ones that we talked about a little bit earlier, but I just want to hammer it home. Mm-hmm. Jesus Aguilar, please just cut him. I mean, yeah. His playing time is suffering. The Brewers clearly don't think he's going to snap out of it without significant amounts of time improving it. So I would say cut him.
Sure.
And then Travis Shaw with the call-up of Hira, their prospect second baseman, pretty much takes away a lot of his opportunity as well to play consistently.
Right.
So I'm thinking both of those guys for the Brewers are definitely worth cutting. They're some of the biggest disappointments maybe in fantasy so far this year based on their draft stock, that not due to injury, I should say, for the primary reason why they're this low. But, you know, that's just a couple of guys. I kind of mentioned Daniel Murphy. Sorry about that. I mean, I think he will eventually turn it around, but it depends on how much patience you want to have.
See, now that's the thing. I'm on the preseason, based on his draft value, when we were talking about that, I called him a creeper. Now, I call him a keeper, and I think you should buy him for cheap.
I don't think I can argue too much on that.
So that way we meet in the middle ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll get into the more interesting stuff a little bit here, and that's going to be Nick Pivetta. He's a guy that's owned in 33% of leagues, and it's climbing fast based on him being in the rotation again. He's a highly rated prospect starting pitcher for the Phillies, and I'm not exactly sure why he's being picked up as often as he has based on his success over the last 2 years in the majors, including this year, besides just his actual talent. And so his talent is looking great, I won't lie. Potential fastball velocity is 71st percentile. The fastball spin, 74th percentile. And the curveball spin in the 96th percentile. So he has some plus pitches if he's throwing those sorts of pitches in every game. But he's had a rough start on the year with an 8.35 ERA, 16 Ks in 18 innings, which doesn't indicate that he's striking out people at a crazy degree where you might be willing to take a risk. And at AAA, I mean, his numbers are fine at 3.41 with 50 Ks, which is great, in 37 innings, but 20 walks as well. And last season, in a very extended stay in the majors, he had a 4.77 ERA. So I think all that stuff has got me a little bit worried. If he's struggling to locate, he's walking players, and his major league start has been so rough, he's going to be one of those prove-it-to-me people, and I'm less likely to even add him as a sleeper as some of the other guys we mentioned before. I'm saying pretty much ignore him. Too risky.
Well, which is funny, because as much as I don't like starting pitchers, in my rotisserie league, I've streamed him today. I was part of the percentage. Whoa. I'm lined up to get a win. So, whoa. He's just got good K stuff. He was playing at home with the division-leading Phillies, so he'll get you the wins and stuff. And that's why I did it. So,
I can't argue too much.
Yeah, I hate to see those walks. Season-long, probably not. But I think that's why his ownage percentage just jumped. It's just everybody streaming him today.
That's possible.
So,
we'll also go with another starting pitcher.
Do it.
And so that's going to be Luke Weaver. This one's due to injury that I have on my creeper list here. He's owned in 61% of leagues, and he's off to a really great start on the season. 4 wins, 3.03 ERA, 1.1 whip, 68 Ks in 62 innings, which is a better than 1.0 per inning, which you love to see. And his advanced stats aren't great overall, but they're definitely not indicating significant regression. I think maybe slight regression based on his season. And I would have said own him, but when you talk about a forearm strain that's sending him to the DL and they're talking about he's going to be out for a long time, that's a guy that I'm going to have a really hard time wanting to stick it out for with an undetermined timetable on a throwing arm for an injury.
Yeah, with all the other people on the DL, it'd be hard to roster him.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I think you can part ways. If you really have a free DL spot and you really like him, I can't fault you too much for keeping him, but I think overall, you'd be best not worrying about it and just trying to pick him up closer to his timetable return.
I think so.
I don't think people are going to be sitting on that, waiting to waste their waiver claim on him in most competitive leagues. So I'd say you could probably let him go.
Sad days. Hope he recovers.
Really is.
Hope he gets a better forearm.
Me too. Just for you, so he can feel better, go out there and do his job.
There you go. Just needs a forearm upgrade.
That's all.
Well, I'm just going to keep harping on catchers because Josh Fegley is a guy I'm creeping on. And what's just, and it could be Fegley. Don't even know. Because he's 31 years old and I've never heard his name. So, So we got plenty of sample size on this guy. And on the season, I mean, good for him. I'm happy to see it. I love it. 21 runs scored, 7 homers, 32 RBIs, batting .282. Fantastic. Glad you can have this in the twilight of your career. And I'm sure you've been a solid pro to be around this long and to get this opportunity again, but you look at his career stuff, and he's got right now an exaggerated launch angle and home run total. Way exaggerated. We'll just say home run total. And despite the exaggeration on that, in Oakland, which that's impressive in that too, because it's not the easiest part to hit in at all. So season long, that's kind of ugly. And he's done it exaggerated, but still his exit velocity is so puny with 86.2. Harder than I could hit. Or pitch or anything like that, but I'm happy for him. I'm glad he had the run, but if you're counting on him to be your catcher all season long, that's a creepy situation.
Creepy indeed.
Go pick up Vasquez from the Boston Red Sox, I just told you. So
sure.
There you go.
I mean, I like Mitch Gardner better when he gets back off the DL too. So if you wanted to ride Fegley for a short term while he's hitting good,
yeah.
Okay.
And most competitively, I hope Garver's picked up.
I would hope, but I would be pulling the plug real quick on Fegley as well. I don't have a lot of faith in him continuing to play like this the whole season.
Okay. Who else are you creeping on?
I am creeping on Albert Almora Jr. from the Cubs.
Yeah.
Center fielder. He's owned in 12% of leagues, and almost all of that was added just recently because he's been on a hot streak. He's had 4 home runs in like his last 11 games or so.
Yeah.
So it's not like a potent hot streak like Nunez, but he's never had more than 8 home runs in a season, but to be fair, he should hit for a higher batting average than what he has. He's like hitting .260 on the season, but he's a career .284 hitter. But he's only in the 11th percentile in exit velocity, which
he never hits the ball very hard.
Is so low for him to be hitting this many home runs in a short streak. That shows significant regression imminent. Like
how's
probably
he owned
tomorrow.
In like pretty much double the amount of leagues that Avisiel Garcia has owned in. That's stupid.
I just don't even understand.
That's the only argument. Is like, this guy's a creeper because he's half of what Avisiel Garcia is, and he's owned in double the amount of leagues. So that is a creepy situation, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's brutal. I just don't get it.
I don't get that.
Because he's not even been a big stolen base threat, even though he does have an 82nd percentile speed, which indicates he probably could steal more bases if he wants to. But I don't see what he gives you besides a good batting average.
It's got to be in your baseball genetics to steal bases, too. It just doesn't mean how fast you are.
That's true. It is true. So I'm just saying, Creeper, I just don't think he's worth it. Don't buy into the hot streak. He is a little tempting. I mean, maybe he hits one more home run next week because he's just on such a hot streak.
And you also got to keep in mind Brian's going to be back here soon, and that's going to cut in his playing time because Brian does frequent the outfield. So,
yeah. I'm just not a believer.
There's just so many better options out there.
Yes, please.
Pretty much every sleeper we've mentioned, pretty much every sleeper we haven't mentioned. So,
I mean, actually.
Yeah.
If you have an outfielder that's rated anywhere within the top 250 on the season, taking any of those over Alberto
Jr.,
pretty much. I don't see the appeal.
Yeah. And the big crime is still Avisio Garcia.
Absolutely. If he's out there, it shouldn't even be a discussion. Before I'm done saying this sentence, he better be on your team. That's how automatic he would be.
Really. I'll mention another one just because we haven't harped on him in a while. And he's still owned in like 93% of leagues, so you can trade him away and get something decent. And it's Matt Carpenter. That last year, still is just mind-boggling to me how he hit that many home runs. So
blown away.
He's not going to do it again. We said that before the season. We said that like 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
We said that like 4 weeks ago. We said that maybe like 3 weeks ago. We said that today. 32 runs scored, 7 home runs, 17 RBIs, 2 stolen base, batted in .222. And he does have that nice first, second, third L ability, owned in 93% of leagues. You could definitely package him, score yourself something. His batting average may go up a little bit from .222. I wouldn't be too surprised if it's not much, the .250. He's definitely not going to be a power hitter like he was last year.
Right. That was completely out of character.
They were just fluky. And advanced stats prove it. It was fluky advanced stats-wise, too. So, not happening again. It's not like he's going to blossom into a power hitter at the age of 40. So,
yeah, no.
I'd be trading him.
Pretty sure it's not going to work.
He'd be a perfect guy if you had him on your squad and then pick up Justin Upton and trade them both away in a nice package deal to score you something decent. That's what I would do.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I don't know if you'll agree, but I would even look for maybe getting a guy like D. Gordon, who I think will end up stealing a few bases here. I know he's not the ideal candidate, but I guarantee, yeah. You know what, I'm going to say it. I guarantee that you could probably get Matt Carpenter given up right now for him, and I think you'd be happier
you could
have him on your roster.
But I really wouldn't want D. Gordon either, so I'd also be looking to trade D. Gordon. So somebody I would want to land in a package deal. You could look at Benintendi. You could look to Starling Marte. Somebody like that. You're going to have to package him with something good. But
Benintendi would be a very interesting guy to target.
Yeah.
He's just looked really vanilla. Like, not terrible on the season, but just not what you were hoping. And I think there's a good chance of that lineup, which should heat up around him in Boston even more than what it has, could turn out to be worth it.
That's cool. Carpenter was my last sleeper just because it's been a while, and I just want to reiterate that.
Yeah. So. I'm watching real hard on Eloy Jimenez as well for the White Sox. I don't know how much I believe in him in general. I mean, he has a lot of talent. He showed sparks at the beginning, and streakiness is what you expect based on his profile. I think he'll probably snap into a hot streak soon, but I think season long I'm losing some hope on him. Maybe in this next hot streak I would trade him away as well. But I'm not looking to bail like
package
immediate
him with Carpenter and go get Marte.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great trade.
There you go.
If you could do that. So, if you can do something like that, I love it. But I wouldn't pull the ripcord immediately on Eloy and just dump him for anything. I think he'll probably snap back into being worth something soon.
Yeah. Cool beans.
I'll throw one more creeper in just before we head out, and it'll be Mitch Keller. Starting pitcher for the Pirates. Owned in 17% of leagues. A lot of people probably picked him up just to stream him for the game against Cincinnati, which I get because Cincinnati's been pretty inconsistent. He got roughed up real hard, 13.5 ERA in 4 innings against the Reds. But he did have 7 Ks in 4 innings pitch, which you like to see. So his stuff was kind of there. He was just not locating well at all and getting pummeled. He's the 21st overall prospect, according to MLB.com. He's a guy I'm looking to keep my eye on, but definitely cut him for now. I don't think he's made enough of a statement to stay in the rotation after that showing. Yeah. So I think he's going to be sent back down to the minors. I think he already has, and Maybe next time we hear him coming up, give him a little bit of a glance, but I'm going to be slow to believe on him as well. I think he's worth cutting immediately now again.
Okie doke. Got any more of them creepy folk?
Nope. That's it.
Well, let's transition us then into our new, well, not new segment. Maybe new in relative to baseball, but we've been doing it for 15 episodes now. So, double plays.
Yeah.
Where it's a part of fantasy baseball. Who can we stream for the week when you only have six ads? And I need some extra starting pitching help. So people that have two starts in the next week that are owned in under 70% of CBS Sports Fantasy Baseball Leagues is where we get these names from. And looking back on last week, I don't know how you're doing, but Lance Lynn didn't do too bad. Scored your 10Ks. I wish it would have been a better ERA, a little bit, but it was definitely a solid start. And sadly, CeCe went to the DL, so we don't know how he would have done.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, I think Sonny Gray pitched all right. It was a little inconsistent with some of those starts, but I don't know. I still like him.
With Sonny Gray, would that have been yesterday that he got the win, I think?
I think he pitched great in the first and then bad, or great in the second, bad in the first, if I recall, like a 5 ERA or something. Let me look it up to be sure.
But didn't he not win? I thought he got the win.
So maybe I was right. I'll take that. yeah, both starts were actually great. Never mind. You're welcome.
Well, one's still coming, right? One should still be coming because today is only Tuesday, so one more should be this week. Okay. So he's been good the last two starts, but I think the second one is the first one of this week.
I see. Maybe I'm all off my dates. But I still definitely feel good about him. He should be playing again this week, but CBS Sports has him slightly above 70%.
Yeah.
But Yahoo has him at 42, so he's probably available still. His K rate's been great on the year. Just as kind of an honorable mention for this, because I wasn't even thinking about talking about him because I've mentioned him so many times. But 64 Ks in 56 innings, you love to see. 1.21 WHIP is not by any means a bad number. That would indicate huge problems with him walking people or something. And a 3.54 ERA with two wins. And the two wins is a criminal slap in the face for the Reds' offense, and it's not indicative of how he's been pitching.
Yeah.
And the Reds' offense is coming more alive, so I'm feeling even better about him getting
even
wins.
Yeah, he should be owned. So he should be. Well, double plays this week.
Yes.
Number one guy, I hope we both agree that we don't talk about this before the episode, but it's got to be, and I hope you agree, Corbin Martin.
Oh, I did not have him on there.
Really?
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm losing faith, to be honest. I've had him on my team for a few weeks, but...
In 12 innings pitched, you can't lose faith too hard, but 12.2 innings pitched so far in the season since his call-up.
Yeah.
Tearing it up in the minors. 4.97 ERA with 1.58 WHIP. I guess you were hoping for more from a big call-up prospect, but he does have 12 Ks in those 12.2 innings with six walks, so it's kind of been there. And it's probably going to get sharper. He's with the Astros, though, so you can't just bail. But two starts next week. At Seattle's the first one, which is, I talked about Lance Lynn. Seattle usually hits worse at home, so that's nice because there you go. And he's going up against LeBlanc, which has got 23 way to LeBlanc, in case I got the LeBlanc part right, wrong. So anyways, 23.1 innings pitch for him on the season. 18 strikeouts to 8 walks. But a 7.33 RA and a 1.76 WHIP. So you may not like Corbin Martin too much, but you like him more than that. So
I will agree with that.
And you definitely like the Astros more than the Mariners. So that seems like a nice start. And then the second start of the week, at home versus Baltimore Orioles.
Love that one overall.
So there you go. Corbin Martin. I think he's the safest, best double play you got next week. And if he turns that real well... And you still don't like him, you trade him. And if he turns in a really good double week, maybe that's the beginning of something good. But that's the guy I picked out.
I really wanted to pick him. I stared at him for a minute, but maybe it's just me watching him today on top of what's going on. But it'll be his third straight outing today that he didn't go four innings. He's had over a 2 WHIP in each of his three last outings. And his last two have been 7.35 or 3.36, sorry, and 8.1 ERAs. So his last starts have been rough. He isn't going deep into games, but like you said, two soft matchups. So I'm mixed. He has great talent in the minors. He was pitching great. So there's a chance he can get it back together, and it was just a little bit of a rough start. And the Chicago lineup is not a kind one in this particular outing, and the Boston and Texas were not great in his first two outings either. And he pitched great against Texas. So the White Sox is just the only one I really hate to see in there.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just my humble opinion. But the guy I like the most is actually Ryan Weber. He was a guy that was being looked at from a lot of people this week, so I definitely wanted to mention him. I think he's a creeper season long because the sample size is too little to believe, but he's only owned in 4% of leagues right now. Strong start to the season with a 1.29 ERA, 0.86 whip, and 14 innings pitched with 11 Ks. There's talk that he might stay into the rotation if he keeps pitching well, and so I think with that sort of start, I think there's a chance, but I think with the general career averages being around 4.41 ERA and 54 Ks and 87 innings shows that he's probably not up to this point earned a long leash. So I think he'll get at least two starts though, but he's going up against Tampa Bay with a to-be-announced pitcher on the 8th and Jake Junis for the Kansas City Royals on the 4th. And so with two of those starts, I'm thinking Ryan Weber's worth it. One of those being away for Kansas City and at home for Tampa Bay. So I think he's worth streaming, especially with his hot start right now. But we'll see. I like the Kansas City matchup in Kansas City, but the Tampa Bay one could be slightly difficult.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
But we'll see how he does against Cleveland this week. That'll be a good...
good gauge.
A good gauge.
That's a good point. Because if he gets bombed...
tomorrow against Cleveland.
Yeah. I would say if he gets bombed in this outing, pull the ripcord. Don't do it. But if he pitches fairly well, I'm feeling pretty confident with Kansas City and Tampa Bay for him.
Yeah. I'll go with my second, which in my vision is a far second from Corbin Martin. I probably wouldn't do it, but we give you two because it's double plays. So Eric Lauer of the Padres.
Yeah.
53 innings pitched. 45-14 strike to walkout ratio, 4.73 ERA and 1.31 WHIP, which is good for like a fourth, fifth starter. But he's had a very good last three starts. Mm-hmm. He's got Philadelphia at home versus Aaron Nola, who will turn it on and be very good
eventually.
But he's still been hit or miss here in the last few. And Philadelphia is a, like I said, division leading team, so. That one's iffy, but then you get a much nicer matchup, which is crazy to say, against Washington at home as well. Who does have talent? I mean,
everywhere.
It could still work. But he's been solid. If you really need it, that's my number two of the double playlist. But yeah.
I actually have him as well. I don't think he's terrible, but I have the same exact opinion of you. You hate to see those matchups. But when you're looking at a guy that's owned in very few leagues, mm-hmm. he's only owned in 12% of CBS leagues right now, which is what you like to see because they're usually the aggressive area on that. His season's been fine, and six of his last seven starts have been really good, under four ERA for all of them. He just got blasted at one game against Colorado with like a 23 ERA. So advanced metrics say they aren't great. Most are under 50%. But it isn't bottom pits sort of numbers to indicate that the wheels are going to fall off right away.
Right.
So I think he's highly ownable. And with the three straight games, like you said, under 2.0 ERA, I think he's hot enough to where I would consider rolling him out there. If you needed the innings and you needed the Ks, I think he could do it because his K rate's been pretty good over the season as well.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to say in double plays.
And I guess we were talking about, although the Padres stadium for this guy isn't necessarily great for not giving up home runs, but it is fairly offensive.
It's still Pitcher's Park.
Pitcher's Park, yes. And both of those starts are at home.
So
that is something.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you ready for some closing notes?
Sure.
Closing notes. The named feature at the very end where I give you some closing notes about closers. The closing note I have this week is Sean Armstrong taking over for Michael Givens, who, don't sleep on Michael Givens. Keep an eye on him because he was incredible last year. His stuff is insane if you look him up advance-wise. And his WAR was like 16 or 17 for relievers last year, which was right behind Aroldis Chapman. So Michael Givens is a good reliever and will return to being so, but he may not close again for the Orioles for a while because Sean Armstrong, who's poor guy's been such a journeyman in the pros, but finished so strong last season, and he's been pretty solid for the Orioles so far, and shut down for his first save last night for the Orioles, a 5-3 game. Owned in about 5% of Yahoo leagues, he is worth an add. And that's my closing notes for you all. Thanks for listening.
I hope you had as much fun as we did this week.
Yes. Yes, we had fun, and you had fun, hopefully.
We'll hope so. Fingers crossed.
All right. Go win some leagues. Go make some trades. And
hit us up with any questions, updates, feedback. We'll listen to it all.
We love to hear it. So thank y'all. Bye.
Bye.